So when we're talking about endings and also beginnings, the first thing I started thinking about was creation stories and how every culture seems to have its own creation story, and some of them are so vibrant and fascinating, and reading different ones, I just wanted to share my favorite creation story. It's very short. In the beginning was the creation of the universe. This has made a lot of people angry and has been widely regarded as a bad move. You may recognize that quote from Douglas Adams. Today, I want to meditate a little on the cyclical nature of life, on endings and on beginnings, on how this is my last week with you and how the summer is ending, and how the end of summer means the beginning of a new church year, a new school year. And for this, for you all specifically, this also marks a goodbye to your previous interim minister, hello to your new interim minister, goodbye Reverend Wayne, hello Alexa, and I had the blessing of kind of being in that middle spot. So that's kind of what I want to think about today. Philosophers and the rest of us argue over the essence of life, whether life is a cyclical affair and we keep going around and around, or is it linear and there's one life after death or nothing. None of us really know for sure whether or not the soul incarnates, reincarnates. We all have different experiences and we have a multitude of beliefs. But regardless, we most certainly all know that beginnings and endings are related, often joined. Beginnings and endings are often the parents of one another giving birth to each other. My dad, I mentioned earlier, the Eastern Orthodox priest, once told me that for his job as a priest, he spends a surprising amount of time comforting grieving people. And what he said to me, and this was years ago, was that life is change, and change hurts. And that statement is so simple and so true, and just born out of a genuine life experience of being with grieving people. Change can hurt, and yet life is change. Life is impermanent. Change can be exciting and fun, it can be difficult and painful, and a big part of the job of a minister is to provide a comforting and stable place during times of change. But when the change you are experiencing is a change of ministers, that's its own thing. You have each other. Today I'm saying goodbye to you, and I'm going on to work next year, meaning next school year that's about to start up in Frederick, Maryland. And I will bring with me to that congregation stories of the kindness and warmth and openness I experienced down here in Sterling. You all opened your arms to me so readily and so enthusiastically. I have no doubt that your time with Reverend Alexa will be a time of growth and happiness. And I want to come back. I plan to come back. Such is the cyclical nature of life. I'm saying goodbye today, and I hope that this goodbye gives birth to another hello. Over the course of next year, you will grow closer to Reverend Alexa. You will learn her and know her, and she will become yours, not in the same way that you love Reverend Anya or Reverend Wayne, but in a new, beautiful Alexa way. And I feel like it's important to state these feelings, to put this transition, put words to this transition, and to point to it rather than glossing over and acting like everything's fine. Transitions hurt. It's important to talk about what's uncomfortable and what's difficult. But you're all together in this community. And the thing about that is that you're all in this Unitarian Universalist Congregationalist tradition. You're all in the driver's seat of this community, of this congregation. You're all in charge of driving this holy community into a future that's exciting and beautiful. Treasure the lessons you've learned along the way and treasure your mistakes. I think there may have been one or two at some point. I'm feeling very inspired by Reverend Wayne and his Buddhist practice, so I'm going to quote something from a whole other UU minister on the Buddhist idea of dukkha. This is titled, All is Dukkha. Dukkha, they say. The Buddhists say, all is dukkha. It is hard to translate, they tell us. It literally means suffering, but the feeling of dukkha is closer to impermanence. The fact of impermanence is central to the Buddhist path to nirvana, enlightenment. Dukkha. All is impermanence. Nothing lasts. I thought of that yesterday watching leaves come down in a shower and the smell of the rotting ones going back into the earth. Leaf to humus and back to earth to nourish the roots of the mother tree, the crows crying as the leaves fall and their nests are exposed, dukkha, all is impermanent. And life goes on. And people who were with us last year at this time have died. All souls pass on. All is dukkha. Nothing lasts. The path to enlightenment is understanding, accepting impermanence to the point where we no longer struggle against it. That is the way of the Buddha. But here in the West, we search for that which is permanent. Even as we live with death of all things, all people, we search for a sure footing on the path strewn with fallen leaves. We notice the buds of next year's growth, tight curled and waiting. We hold on to the things we can count on, our church, our community, our memories of those who died before us, our love and hope, and the search for certainty in a world that is dukkha. God of creation, God of today, let us find each other in a changing world. Let us experience love as something which exists, a possibility which is. Let us know that we are alive and being renewed miraculously each second, that the impermanence gives to life its freshness and surprise, that our memories of yesterday and our expectations of tomorrow make now a cherished, precious, eternal moment. We strive to live in the eternal now. We strive to be in the moment. But today we are also acknowledging the past and the future. We're saying thank you to Reverend Wayne for all the blessings that he's showered upon this community. And we're saying thank you to Reverend Alexa for all we have to look forward to. And now, in the eternal present, we are mindful of that tension between beginnings and endings, the symbiotic relationship between pain and growth, the inherent impermanence of all. A couple of months ago, I stood right here and told you that this summer we were going to have some fun. And I hope it was fun for you. I've had a lot of fun. Right now, in this moment, in the eternal now, I am so filled with joy and gratitude for all you have given me. It's hard to say goodbye, but I would not go back in time to the beginning of the summer, even if I had the chance, because I prefer today and the now of looking out at faces that I am beginning to recognize, that I'm beginning to know. Some of you, I even learned the names that go with the faces. So I don't want to step on Alexa's toes by making predictions about the upcoming year, but I will tell you a secret. I think you're going to continue to have fun. Something about this group just feels like fun just keeps on happening here. In researching for this sermon, I came across multitudes of poetry regarding exactly this topic, the impermanence of life and change and beginnings and endings. There's just no end to all of the brilliance that's already out there on this subject. Some of them are so affirming and soothing, I hope you don't mind. If I put my own voice for aside for a moment and treat you to the voices of others, I have a couple of poems that I'd like to read. All written, everything I'm about to read written by other UU ministers with a little more experience than I. The first one is a prayer titled Bound by Impermanence. And I just love this. And I'm going to read it to you, and I'm going to have just a moment of silence at the end. Mystery of the universe, ground of our very being. Truly it is said that you make the sun rise and the life-giving rains fall on both the just and the unjust. And in that way, yours is an abounding grace, and we give our thanks. But it is also true that none of us are ever really spared, neither the just nor the unjust. For try as we might, we are still all subject to the challenges of pain, death, and separation, to the inherent impermanence of our material existence. And yet, the fact that no one is spared suggests that neither are we ever truly alone. Since we all partake in this ephemeral reality, so may the fact of our shared human condition foster empathy, compassion, and mutual loving support. May the stories of all those who have gone before us, ordinary flesh and blood people just like us, remind us of the deep reserves of courage and strength that lie within each and every one of us. And may the transient and ephemeral nature of life compel us to savor every moment, while also reminding us, particularly in our most trying times, that this too shall pass. May it be so. Now a moment of silence. The next little bit that I want to read is a short poem titled Suspended Between. And I feel that we're there now. We're suspended between. Suspended between all that was and all that might be, we struggle to find this very moment, to live this very moment. Let us sit together for a moment and savor this moment. Let us relish this between time, where past meets future. Let us harbor a faith that reminds us that right now, right here, is enough. Let's have another moment of silence. And the last poem I'd like to read to you this morning is titled, An Ending or Merely Prelude to More Glorious Beginnings. We have reached the end of this time for the gathering of memory and for letting the imagination play with future possibilities. We have enjoyed magic moments and edified each other. Shall it be concluded then? Or will this adventure, now commenced, continue? Our separate paths converging, meeting, merging, in the unending quest for love more perfect, the joyous struggle for meaning more sufficient and life more abundant. Is this ending to be an ending, or merely prelude to new, more glorious beginnings? I pose the question. In your hearts lies the answer. Amen.